Consumers are struggling to repay their debts, what with the rising cost of living. In this B-side episode, Marie Alexis Charisse Arboleda, head of operations at Collectius, shares insights on Filipino debt trends with Business World reporter Keisha B. Taasan.
With the pandemic having impacted household savings, consumers relied on credit to cover some of those spending. However, there are signs that consumers are finding it challenging to repay all of their debts amid inflationary pressures with the Philippines. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of B-Side. Today, I am with Ms. Alexis Arboleda, Head of Operations for Philippines Collectius. Ms. Alexis has been in the debt collection industry in the Philippines for over 15 years. Ma'am, welcome to B-Side.
Hi, Keisha. Good morning.
Good morning. So to start off, ma'am, my first question would be, how would you describe the current credit landscape in the Philippines?
The credit landscape in the Philippines is growing, and it stands out compared to the other countries in Southeast Asia. And this is due to our young and rapidly growing population. There is a lot of room for growth and opportunity for enhanced financial literacy, especially with the young workforce in the Philippines. Although the government, both the private and public sectors, have already started numerous programs and campaigns to educate Filipinos when it comes to managing their finances, which includes tips on budgeting, savings, use of credit, up to investments.
Okay, ma'am, but have you noticed or what are the most prominent lending patterns that you notice among Filipino consumers this year? Or how did Filipinos leverage debt during the pandemic?
In the Philippines, we see the use of credit cards surging. Credit cards are one of the most used payment channels and maybe the biggest debt source for the average Filipinos. Based on our research together with CCAP, the total card billings is up to 400 billions of pesos. This shows that, you know, our economy is resilient, but it also means that the Filipinos are turning to borrowing money because of the high inflation, which is making their purchasing power weaker. With the inflation being present in the Philippines, it is having a negative impact on the unbanked, which creates issues like limited purchasing power, limited saving options, and they are becoming more sensitive to the economic problems. Like any other country, we saw a gradual shift towards the digital and card-based payments. This trend became evident and have accelerated during the pandemic, wherein we saw a surge in online and contactless payment methods. Credit card usage for online and e-commerce was on the rise. You know, Filipinos purchased everything online, from groceries, medicine, food, and we paid it online via our credit cards. Also, during the pandemic, you know, savings were touched, which caused people to be alarmed a little. That's why they used credit or credit cards as their main source during the pandemic to survive. And also, the government and the financial institutions introduced debt relief programs, such as skip payments, loan moratoriums, and even offered restructuring programs that can help debt repayments.
Well, I'm curious, ma'am, how easy or hard is it for an average, ordinary Filipino, let's say a middle-income earner, to be able to apply for credit in banks or other financial institutions?
The ease or difficulty of applying for a credit can vary depending on the individual's financial situation or credit history. Getting a credit card typically requires a proof of income, so that includes submission of your ITR, COE, or payslips, and a very thorough credit check. Banks may offer credit cards with varying credit limits, rewards, promos, and annual fees. Access to these credit cards is often easier for those with stable employment and a good credit history. However, for those individuals with, you know, lower incomes and less established credit histories, they might find it more challenging to access credit from these sources. So for an average Filipino applying for a credit card, you have to choose a credit card that is suitable to your financial portfolio. You don't want to apply for a platinum or premium card that has very high limits or high annual fees, and you're not even needing or using the rewards or limit that comes with it. So it is essential for Filipinos to carefully consider their options and assess their ability to repay loans before applying for credit.
Ma'am, are there any intergenerational differences in the attitude or approach of Filipinos towards debt?
According to our data, we have observed that those aged 30 to 40 are more inclined to repay their debts. I think this is the age bracket wherein you're very conscious of your credit standing. And this is the age bracket also that you start purchasing your own properties. So a good financial record is very important. And you also have to repay your debts to, you know, continue using your credit card. Older generations tend to be more cautious about accumulating debt. They typically rely on traditional lending institutions like banks. On the other hand, the younger generations are more open to various forms of credit, including online lending platforms and credit cards. However, this openness comes with a level of financial literacy because it presents a lot of risks.
Well, you said that the common age bracket for Filipinos to acquire debts is around 30 to 40 because mm-hmm. that's where they start purchasing property. So mm-hmm. is it an issue if, for example, a 40-year-old Filipino does not have enough credit history to suddenly want to buy a property? Is it an issue for them that they do not have enough credit history that shows that they repay their debt?
Like I mentioned, like you have to be cautious when it comes mm-hmm. to your credit scores. You would like to avoid anything or actions that would harm your credit scores because it will impact your financial future. So you have to ensure that you don't miss payments. You ensure that you pay your debts on time and fines, right? And a good credit history is the backbone of most financial institutions when it comes to approving your credit card, your loan applications. So we have to be conscious of our own financial portfolio as well.
All right. So on the topic of debt repayments, mm-hmm. amid a high interest rate environment and inflationary pressures in the Philippines currently, mm-hmm. how often did Filipinos pay their debts, especially this year? How would you compare this year from previous years?
During the pandemic, and I think Filipinos are starting to make debt repayments on a monthly basis for most type of loans, such as their personal loans, home loans, credit card balances. Instead of paying one time or paying in lump sum, we spread it out as much as we can because we want to ensure that we hold on to some cash instead of paying everything at once. Monthly payments has become the standard practice for most loans, and it provides borrowers with a structured schedule for clearing their debts. When it comes to the high interest environment, it can affect the affordability of debt repayments because given the high interest environment, borrowers may face higher monthly installment payments on these loans, especially on credit cards. Additionally, the impact of inflation on debt repayments varies depending on our economic conditions as well. So if our prices are going up, it can be tougher for Filipinos to manage their debt. That's why it is important to find a partner or an institution that can assist you to tailor fit a program for your needs.
Well, ma'am, inflation has been above government target for, I think, almost 2 years already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And do you have any data that shows how many percentage of borrowers that were unable to repay their debts during the year from the previous year?
I think this year, it's quite higher. I really don't have the exact number yet, but it is higher given the influx of post-pandemic spending. People now are spending more and the inflation, like you mentioned, it's higher. I think, it's improving, but for the past couple of months, given that it is already by the end of the year, prices are soaring high. And that's why people are engaging to different types of credit, not only for credit cards, but also for online lending.
Higher debt, how would you call it? Debt unrepayment?
Debt repayment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is it higher or is it slower, the growth in debt repayment rates?
Right now, we can notice that it is, I think it is a standard right now, but given the influx of our expenses, it is getting higher already.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, given the higher debt repayment rates in this year mm-hmm. due to elevated inflation, mm-hmm. would this risk financial stability?
A slowdown in yung debt repayment rates does pose challenges, but not necessarily lead to financial crisis in financial stability, especially if it is sufficiently addressed by regulatory measures. If the reason for the slowdown is because our economy is not doing well, like there is a recession or a lot of people are losing their jobs, that's not good for financial stability. it may mean that people are, you know, having a hard time paying their debts, and that could lead to more loans that don't get paid back, which is bad for banks and other financial institutions. Also, if a lot of people are, you know, slowing down on their repayments, it can hurt the banks and it may make it harder for them to lend money and provide financial services. So this could cause problems to the whole banking system. But banks and other financial institutions are well capitalized in the Philippines, and they generally have risk mitigation strategies in place. They might take steps to reduce risks and support the financial system, especially during tough times. And we saw that also during the pandemic.
All right. That's interesting, actually, because I think a lot of analysts are worried about Filipinos not having enough capacity to repay their debt payments. And I think a lot of our economists are worried if this would risk financial stability. But as you said, banks are well capitalized.
Yeah.
How about your outlook on credit card usage and debt repayment? What is your outlook for this regard here in the Philippines?
Okay. Like I mentioned, I think credit cards is one of the most used payment methods right now. It will surge even more. Credit card is one of the biggest reasons for debt in the Philippines, especially for the average Filipinos, right? With the increase of post-pandemic revenge spending and elevated inflation, this is the reason why some customers are relying on consumer credit. The pandemic made it even more popular because it pushed Filipinos to use online and contactless ways of payment. And we also engage in payment options such as buy now, pay later, and paying our purchases in installments. And, you know, how much people use credit cards and how well they repay their debt will depend also on our economy. If the economy is doing okay or it's getting better, it gives people the confidence to use their credit cards because they feel good about being able to pay off what they owe. But if our economy is not doing so well and there are job losses and, you know, incomes aren't stable, people tend to be more careful with their credit card use, and that can affect the way how they pay their debts.
So, ma'am, do you see the landscape changing in the near to medium term with rapid growth of digitalization, or more Filipinos are becoming more comfortable with credit card usage? Mm-hmm. How will it change?
I expect the credit card usage to increase further given the increasing digital literacy with the younger, and they are more digitally savvy population, right? However, it is crucial for average Filipinos to be aware of their financial situations to avoid defaulting or falling into a debt trap.
Okay. And do you have any suggestions on what can authorities and credit providers do to promote and encourage more Filipinos to borrow from formal financial institutions?
Okay. Financial inclusion and literacy are really the keys to be able to achieve a stable and sustainable financial portfolio. The government, the public and private institutions have rolled out programs in financial know-hows online and offline regarding budgeting, use of credit, fraud know-hows, saving, and even debt management. These institutions have made it available via traditional and non-traditional means to touch all the age brackets. So we can see it in brochures, TikTok, YouTube, and all the means that is possible to reach their target markets. That's why also with us and Collectios, knowledge is very important to us. We equip our customers with the knowledge needed to achieve good financial health, give them control of their finances, and empower them to grow together with the economy.
All right. And I think that's it from my end. Do you have any more final thoughts or final statements that you would like to add before we end our interview?
Okay. Maybe just a quick, like a summary. So, you know, as the Philippines continues to embrace digitalization and technology, and more consumers are gaining access to a wider range of financial services, which includes, like I mentioned, online banking, digital payments, and investment platforms, Filipinos are more comfortable now with online transactions and may seek personalized digital-friendly financial solutions. I think consumers should be informed about managing their finances, understanding also online security, and making responsible financial decisions. So you should just be cautious of your own financial portfolio and think twice before engaging or putting yourself into a debt trap.
Ms. Arboleda said slower debt repayments may make it harder for financial institutions to be able to lend money and provide financial services. Such institutions, however, are well capitalized in the Philippines and have risk mitigation strategies in place, she said. This has been another episode of B-Side. Subscribe now and enjoy a new episode every week.